All right, today's December 2nd, 2017. Does that sound right? Yeah, I guess it is December 2nd. December 2nd, 2017. Movies Podcast 233. I'm Todd Ogasawara, and today we see the return of my good friend John Westfall, who was on a secret, super secret mission last weekend.
And so super secret that if I speak anything of it, everyone who listens to this podcast is in grave danger.
Grave danger. But that is a different podcast.
I'm not willing to put tens of people at danger like that.
That's right. That's the Conspiracy Views podcast. The mythical, legendary
Conspiracy Views podcast. Of course. Yeah. It's not like we would go through the trouble of recording another podcast every week and posting it to a Onion accessible only website on the Tor network. No.
That's right. Right. With our voices anonymized.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know. Anywho. So, iOS 11.2 just dropped. You installed it. I installed it.
Yeah, because otherwise I was told that my device might just start spontaneously restarting all the time. And That was scary enough to make me go, I think I'll just do the update.
Now, you've got a 10, right? You've got the new iPhone 10. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've still got the old 7 Plus, but I figured, what the heck, I'll update it too. And also, there's a new feature, Apple Pay Cash. Which apparently lets you exchange. Can you send me a couple $1,000 just to test it?
Only if you are the true Nigerian prince and send me back like 50,000, you know.
Or 50 million.
For my trouble.
Yeah. Hey, that's a scary thought. I mean, that's a scary thought. Could it be used? I guess it could be used for a scam like that, couldn't it?
I would assume Apple will probably find ways to police it so that it is not used like that.
One can only hope. But in any case, it looks like it's a way to easily exchange funds. Well, maybe exchange isn't a word. Transfer a fund from one person to another using just your iOS device.
Mm-hmm.
Again, and it's in iOS 11.2. It also does that spontaneous restart fix, which I have not seen. So I guess I should consider myself amongst the fortunate. And quite frankly, I haven't heard of anybody complaining of it.
Yeah, well, when you tell everyone on the same day you release a fix that this is what the fix is for, then it'll be a while before we hear, you know, it'll be people who don't update today, they'll be starting to complain tomorrow, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm moving one thing up to kind of keep our iOS news together. And that is that Apple announced, actually, you know, it's in like an Apple.com's newsroom. That they have that they're launching a heart study to detect irregular heart rhythms, and The way you do it is you download an Apple branded app, which is named. Wait, I gotta go look. I actually downloaded it.
I downloaded it as well.
Heart study, and you volunteer for the project, and apparently at some point in the future you may or may not be included in the study. So I thought that was pretty cool, and I thought, well, what the heck? I'll contribute to it. Seems like... Oh, you do need an Apple Watch of some kind. I think almost any version, including the Series 1. So you need some kind of iOS device. You need an Apple Watch of some sort that's on it. And you download this free app and you volunteer your data to the study. You're not in automatically. My heart study app says, thank you. You have been registered for the Apple Heart Study. Turn on notifications if you'd like to receive a notification when the study is ready for you to participate. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything else. So, any rate, I guess, you know, if you know people, I think there are a couple of restrictions. If you have an existing heart problem, you're not considered a candidate for this study. And some other things. But other than that, it didn't seem too restrictive to me. Okay.
Seems like this is really the first use we've seen of Apple's Research Kit API that they released about 2 years ago. 2 or 3 years ago, Research Kit was announced. So I'm interested as a researcher just to see how it sort of works. So I figured I'd sign up and who knows, maybe I'll get chosen.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is part of the health kit, But there is another app called Cardiogram. And I think the URL is cardiogr.am. So basically the word cardiogram with a period between the R and the A. AM is the domain name. And right now it's telling me you can't reach a server, so that's not good. But it's kind of like the Apple Watch's heart rate logging system. And unless I'm dead, maybe couldn't reach it because I'm dead. No, I'm okay. All right. I'm still alive, so that's good. Anyway, so there's a couple
of Paranormal Views podcast.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Paranormal Podcast. you can find it by just going to apple.com/newsroom and looking at their November news releases. It's called Apple Heart Study Launches to Identify Regular Heart Rhythms. And I'll have a link in our show notes that I'll post to mobviews.com. Another interesting news item, this one's from Google. And Google has announced a $45, what they call the Google AIY Vision Kit, which is basically a AI vision system that, you know, basically is a cardboard folding thing, and it provides a number of components. You have to bring your own Raspberry Pi, Pi camera, SD card, and power supply. So it's a little bit more than $45 altogether. It's probably about $100. I think the camera's not too expensive. And, you know, Raspberry Pi is like, what, $30, $40 these days? Mm-hmm. So for under $100, you have an AI vision kit that you can play around with. I thought it's pretty neat. John, you're quite the programmer and noodler. Noodle like the noodle. Stuff, you planning to buy one?
I've looked at it, but... You know, every time I've got like three or four projects I've thought about that would need a new Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, me too.
Every time I go to, I fill the cart with all the stuff I need, and then I look at the subtotal of just around $100, and yeah. I go, am I really going to actually do this project in the near future? So I haven't pulled the trigger yet, but this is one thing that could be very cool to play around with, and so... Who knows? It might be in the future. It might get me to pull the trigger.
And you know, for those of us, and I'm basically those of us is me, not John. For those of us old enough to remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember when Polaroid, for those of you who remember that company, when Polaroid was still Polaroid, they released a DIY kind of kit before, you know, DIY was a thing. They released their land camera. What was it called? It was their sonar system that allowed them to measure distances between the camera and the subject of your photo, the object in your photo. Basically, it would figure out the distance and set the focal length correctly in the camera to get a nice focus on the subject. And I remember a friend of mine bought the sonar kit and was fussing around with it to, I think, in a robot or something. This was in the 1980s. Yeah, it was probably like in the early to mid-80s. We have come quite a long way in the last 40-some-odd years where you can get an actual AI kit for under $100 with, you know, minimal soldering. In fact, no soldering, I think. I think you can all do it with you can do it with no soldering at all, which is pretty amazing. Okay, we have a very short news item list. That was the last of my news item list, John, unless you have something.
We could also mention that Apple this week had a embarrassing bug that required rapid patching, where apparently there was a problem with a logic operation, an else that was not being followed properly that would allow you to reset the root password, actually enable and set a blank root password for macOS, which is sort of a scary exploit. Yep. I was sort of amazed that it wasn't something that the researchers in question chose to take public as quickly as they did. Usually you find researchers that are, you know, they report these bugs. There's no reason to believe this bug wouldn't have been quickly patched by Apple. I don't think Apple would have said, no, we don't think this is a big deal. But it was interesting that it was publicly announced and – Apple had to scramble to get out a patch within 24 hours. I don't know. What was your thoughts on that whole fiasco, Todd?
Well, my thought was, gee, I guess when, you know, when Steve Jobs passed on, they got rid of their QA team. That's what I thought. And I thought there's probably discussions in Cupertino now going, hey, you know that QA team we used to have? Maybe we should get another one because this seems like a QA problem to me. And, you know, there's been other, I mean, not that there were no quality, there, you know, I remember there's AntennaGate during Steve's time too. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me like there are more serious problems that have been made public for, and I have to say I'm an Apple fanboy, you know. I think you would call yourself one too, or at least near an Apple. We have a lot of Apple products.
Mm-hmm.
As an Apple fanboy, you know, as someone who's bought a lot of Apple stuff, I'm a little concerned about the seriousness of the defects that we're seeing in the products lately. You know, they're not catching fire like the Samsung Note 7. So, okay, there's that. Thank mm-hmm. you. But, you know, being able to log into root with a blank password, that is not so good. Oh, and even worse, of course, apparently the most recent High Sierra update wipes out the patch. For mm-hmm. So you got to reapply. If you update High Sierra to the latest version, you got to reapply the patch to patch the blank password problem. So there's that.
Which is bizarre because Apple usually, they're known for not having to repatch something after you update. You know, right. It's not the Microsoft of, oh, here's your install. Here's now 40 more patches to install afterwards.
Right. But. Right. In any case, that was frustrating for a lot of people, and scary. And you know, the scariest part is that it is more than likely that most people don't even know they had a problem because they don't read the online tech journals. And I don't think it was highly publicized in mainstream press. So most people don't even know they have a problem.
That's true, and the ones who don't know they have a problem are also the ones least likely to keep up with patching.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's like Windows, right? I mean, you know, you and I probably know people are still running Windows, I don't know, 98 or 2000 or something. I mean, I've seen an undisclosed financial institution in my town where I remember up to a couple of years ago, I used to peek at their monitors when I went up to the teller. And yes, I don't trust ATMs, by the way, so I will go to a human for transactions, and I would peek in, and they're still running Windows 2000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like at the time it was, I don't know, 13, 14 years after the year 2000.
Yeah, that is not too surprising. Right. It happens with alarming regularity.
And of course, everybody's been in an airport where you see a Windows XP blue screen or mm-hmm. some kind of restart, which is equally hilarious. Okay, so we are over 1 week past the 2017 Black Friday. Did you make any purchases on Black Friday, John?
I did not. There was nothing that really struck me. Of course, I've been buying a lot of technology all year. Mm. So the only thing I'm actually in the market for right now is a new television, and those are going to be on sale for a while. And I don't tend to – you know, I tend to buy things like TVs at the high end so that I don't have to – you know, buy new ones. I'm not the absurdly high end. I'm not looking to pay anything more than $1,000, but
that's a I would lot like for to TV have these days. You can get a nice one.
Yeah, I'm looking in the 500 to 700 range.
Yeah, so looking for a 4K TV?
Exactly.
HDR and all that good stuff.
Yep, mostly because my TV lately, even though it's 7 years old, it's decided to randomly start turning itself on and off.
And you know, I have to say, I think I'm like you. I don't buy new TVs just because they're new. I buy mm-hmm. a new TV because my current one is dying.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not.
My current one is on its way to annoying my wife and I quite a bit.
Yeah.
The point that if we weren't recording a podcast right now, I can't say that we wouldn't be at Walmart buying a new TV.
No, sorry about that, John.
Yeah, it's today it's been just on off, pretty much all day. So
now I have to before we move off that subject, I have to say, you know, I think I may be like you. I would not buy a TV from Amazon. I don't know why exactly. I think they deliver it well and the prices would be good, but I like buying TVs from a store that I can go and look at the picture and kind of, you know, touch it and see where the controls mm-hmm. are and all that kind of good stuff. Are you like that also?
Yeah, I think and mostly it's also I don't want to have to get a TV so big that I have to rearrange everything for it. So it's seeing it in person and being able to measure how long, you know, certain right. things are and where the stand is and how the stand fits and all that. So,
right.
But no, I did not buy any technology. The only thing I actually did buy recently is one of my hobbies is basically getting into amateur lock picking, locksmithing, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And there's a company based in Canada called Sparrow's Lock Picks that has some pretty cool, in one case they have a lock that you can learn how to pick locks with that looks like it's called the revolver, and it looks like a revolver from, you know, the chamber of a revolver because it's got four
like a gun.
Lock stacks. Yep, yeah. Exactly. Four lock stacks in one body. So if you pick it to, you can pick it basically from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, then 3 o'clock to 6, and 6 to 9, and then 9 back to 12. So there's some cool things there, but technology-wise, I'm actually devolving. You know, the stuff I'm buying is basic springs, pins, and screws. So
yeah, I saw that photo you pasted, posted. What was that thing? I didn't see the answer in the replies from your friends.
Oh, it was the revolver that I was talking about. So basically, when I got it, there were a few springs that were a little bit loosely placed and caused the body to gum up. So I had to basically pin the whole thing, and that's where all those
springs came from.
Springs came out. So this is
Well, John, you certainly have interesting hobbies, that's for sure.
I try, you know?
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it on that podcast we don't have.
That's right. That's right. One wonders if this is how criminals practice lockpicking.
No, I'm pretty sure they just use a crowbar or a large object and just hack their way in. I don't think they're all that concerned. Most criminals are not all that concerned with, you know, the nuance of getting into a place. They're more interested in just getting in, getting what they want, and going.
So it's not like in the movies where they have a stethoscope and they're listening to the tumblers fall and
probably not. Those people, I would assume, are doing are not as, I suppose, lucrative of criminals as the ones who just smash and grip.
True. As for me, I am just a smidge beyond your $0 purchase. I spent a whole $10 because I have a very old car, a very old automobile, and I spent a whole $10 on a new Bluetooth FM radio transmitter so I can listen to podcasts and audiobooks in my car, because I think the one I have now, which has been pretty good for the last, I don't know, a couple of years, I guess I've had it. It's getting a little flaky, so I thought, well, maybe it's time to buy a new one. And so I saw one on sale for Black Friday on Amazon for about $10, and hopefully it'll be here actually today. I'm sitting at home waiting for it to appear now. And other than that, the only thing else I bought... Oh, Amazon... It's kind of unusual, too. Amazon had a $100 iTunes gift certificate for $85. So I bought that. One of my daughter's stocking stuffers.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Other than that, nothing, nada. And it's not like I didn't look. I took the day off. I took Friday off, which is normally a work day for me. I took the whole day off, and I actually sat down Friday morning and kind of went through Amazon, you know, page after page of deals, and I just didn't see a whole lot that A, I thought I wanted, and B, would ship to Hawaii, because, you know, we have that problem. A lot of things don't ship here. I'll tell you another weird thing. I think maybe I mentioned it last time. So I was going to get another fidget toy. You've probably seen those fidget toys, with not the spinners, but the ones where there's little buttons and rollers and things to, you know, cube with a lot of little doodads on it. No battery, would not ship to Hawaii. Don't know why.
Well, that just sounds cruel at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Any rate, So enough of my ranting about Amazon and shipping and things. The batteries, I can, you know, at least I can understand that, right? There is a plausible danger that, you know, needs to be dealt with somehow, but come on. Okay.
So Todd needs something to fidget with. Yeah. You know what? Buy a practice lock and start lock picking.
No, that's I bet you they won't ship that to Hawaii either, but anyway.
Well, by the Sparrows is a Canadian company. Maybe they don't care. So, you know, they'll just ship it to Hawaii, not knowing where Hawaii is.
Yeah. And I guess that can be one of your gadget gift suggestions, which is one of our other topics here. So.
Yep. I have a few suggestions. So, obviously, the technology that I am using on a daily basis, I would recommend to anyone, you know, the Apple Watch Series 3, the iPhone 10, the iPad Pro 10.5, Surface Pro 4, MacBook Pro from 2015 that actually still has ports. You know, all those things are good things. I also use something called the Keybinder, which
I think you mentioned that.
It looks like a carabiner that you would clip onto things, but it has a couple of screws, and you can basically, Swiss Army knife style, put your keys on the side of it. And so if you have a lot of keys you need to carry around, this is a nice way to get them out of your pocket. You can then just put them on a belt loop. So I tend to walk around work with this on my belt loop, and then I can get into the offices that I need to get into. So
without picking the locks.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't want to pick locks that you don't own, so, you know, you only go for the ones that you have, and you use the actual keys that you have for other things. But I really have enjoyed using the Keybinder for the last year, so I tell people about that. You can get one of those at, you can actually just search Keybinder, K-E-Y-B-I-N-E-R, made by a company called Fortis Arms. They cost about $35, $40, and they were running a Black Friday buy one, get one free. But I think they have probably taken that out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what other, you know, technology-wise, it's one of those things where you learn what you like, and then you just kind of go from there. And this year has been a massive upgrade year for me. So I would tell anyone, I guess my big three picks are the same ones that you were asking about what I enjoyed the most this year. That would be the Apple Watch 3, the iPhone 10, and the iPad 10.5.
Well, I am looking through the stuff I bought. Well, first let me say, I do have, in terms of kind of a combination gadget gift suggestion, well, I don't know, it might be too expensive as a gift. But my favorite purchase of 2017 so far, with, you know, less than a month left in the year, and I had to think about this one, because I, like you, I refreshed a lot more stuff than I normally do. iPad Pro 10.5, sorry, and Apple Watch 3 to replace my Moto 360. It's kind of dying. I also bought a Pixel 2, which I, by the way, I can't directly compare it to the iPhone 8 or 10 that you have, but I will say its camera is hands down better than the iPhone 7 Plus. It's not even a question. It's not like, on a good day, certain lighting could, no, it's just better. And I find that shocking, and I also find it terrible that I bought the 64 gigabyte storage instead of 256, because I can't take as many photos on it.
Welcome to the world of my headache from last year.
So I have to kind of be very careful how many photos I take, because it is a remarkable, truly remarkable camera. But at any rate, to cut to the chase, my favorite gadget purchase 2017. This might surprise you, John. The Samsung Chromebook Plus. Yeah, you know, and my criteria for narrowing it down to that is, how much do I use something and how much has it changed the way I do things? The Apple Watch, you could make an argument that I use it more because it's on my wrist more than, you know, it's on my wrist practically all day. Whereas the Chromebook Plus, really, I only use at night, you know, after I get home from work. But it has changed the way I do things, is I no longer fire up a Windows PC. My standard used to be fire up a Windows PC every night and use it for browsing and, you know, paying bills and all the kinds of things that we normally do. But the Samsung Chromebook, the Chromebook Plus in general, but in particular the Samsung Chromebook Plus that I bought is so fast. I mean, you know, there's like no boot time. And by boot, I mean mm-hmm. resume from sleep. But even that is faster than resuming from hibernation, let's say, for a Windows 10 device. It's faster than reviving from sleep on a Surface Pro 4, which to me is quite slow to, you know, get it to do the Windows Hello thing and finally let me type something.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason it works to me is because it's a Chrome browser. You know, Chrome works at everything. And it's the reason I will not buy a Windows S machine, because it runs Edge and no Chrome and no Firefox. So, yeah, Samsung Chromebook Plus, basically any good Chromebook, I think it's a really good purchase for mm-hmm. that. You know, 90% of the stuff you got to do 90% of the time. It's going to do everything. No, you can't record a podcast. I wouldn't use it to edit video, which I rarely do anyway. It's kind of a hassle to deal with files on it. You know, like crop a photo and, you know, post it to a blog, that kind of thing. It's really, maybe I just don't understand the workflow yet. But it seems like it's not as simple as using a Mac or Windows PC. Mm-hmm. But really, really like it a lot. And I was kind of surprised, because I thought I was going to pick the iPad Pro 10.5. But, which I really enjoy, but I don't use it as much as the Samsung Chromebook Plus, which is pretty good.
Well, and for me, it was a very hard choice, but I did go with the iPad Pro 10.5. Mm-hmm. And that was simply because, you know, 8 months ago, I had an iPad problem.
Yeah.
Like an addiction. I had an iPad mini. Yep. I was using mostly at home, lying in bed, watching videos, reading.
Right.
I had an iPad Air 2. That I'm reminded my best friend Celeste paying me for. But it was what I used at work in some cases, but mostly I used it when I had to read full-size documents. And then I had an iPad Pro 12.9-inch that I used at work for taking notes and meetings.
I remember that.
Then I decided, you know what, I'm not using – for about half a year, I hadn't used the iPad Pro 12.9.
Mm-hmm.
I was still using the iPad Pro – or the iPad Air once a week on average, and I was using the iPad Mini daily. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to get rid of all these and go for an iPad Pro 10.5, just have one iPad. That was a shocking thing for me to do, and it was a good decision. Reducing down to one device now means that – I don't have to set up things on multiple devices. It wasn't too big of a change to go from an iPad mini to an iPad Pro in bed, so mm-hmm. I haven't really been too annoyed by that. I'm probably building muscle I didn't have, you know, with having to lift it above my head, you know, a few extra ounces than the iPad mini. And using it at work, I've used it. There have been days I think I've done more work on the iPad Pro than I've done on my Surface Pro or my iPhone.
Now, did you buy a keyboard? I think you bought a keyboard case for that. Is that right?
Yep, I bought the iPad keyboard case. And the one that you swore off that you would never use.
Yeah, which is true. And have you found that that's made a difference? Is that the main reason you think you're using it more than you might have without? Even if you had to type on the screen, in other words.
Probably, I definitely am using it more at work than I would if I had to type on the screen.
Yeah.
But I also bought a regular smart cover, and I use that at home.
Hmm.
So when I get home from work, the iPad comes out of the bag, the type cover gets thrown back in the bag, and I put on a regular smart cover that I have sitting next to where I keep my bag, and I just use that the rest of the evening and then into the weekend. So no, basically, being able to take that keyboard off is very nice to get it a little less bulky when you're just reading it around the house.
Yeah, I should note one of the purchases really worked out for me for my iPad Pro 10.5 was because, you know, I've just had problems with Apple's keyboard covers and their regular smart covers. So I went with, I think I paid $12 for this. It's the ESR smart case for the iPad Pro 10.5. It's great. It hasn't shown a lot of wear and tear since I got it. I don't know when. Soon after the iPad when was this? Must have been this summer. So it's only a couple months old, but it's worked out well. And even if it doesn't, it's $12. You know, I'll just buy another one. And if I buy three of them, it's still less than one iPad Pro smart cover from Apple, which is, I think, about $40 or $50. Mm-hmm. So very happy with that purchase. A couple other things this year. Surprise. I bought it. Seemed like a good idea at the time. I bought a Hutu, which is a brand I've mentioned here before. I think you have some Hutu stuff too. Mm-hmm. Houto. I bought their USB-C hub for the Chromebook. And, you know, I've never used it. I mean, I tested it. It works fine. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. Just never found a use for it, which surprised me. I thought I was going to be plugging in all kinds of stuff in my Chromebook, and that never really happened. The Blue Yeti USB microphone that I'm recording with now, it took weeks and weeks of trying to figure out configurations for it to work with various things, but I think I've got it nailed down now. Although every now and then it surprises me. And I'm just kind of looking through my list of stuff I bought over the year. Oh, one thing that did work out, I've mentioned in podcasts before, but it's worth mentioning it again. And that is the Anker Powerline Plus USB-C to USB-A cable. So, you know, USB-A is the standard USB plug type that you see on Macs and PCs and, you know, the big rectangular. And USB-C is the symmetric, small plug that's, you know, in most modern phones except for Apple and many laptops. Well, the problem with charging a phone, it turns out, is not all USB-C cables are alike, as you know. And in Amazon, I noticed that some cables would say, well, you know, this will charge fine with these 10 different phones, but these three, nope. And so it became a real question. Well, because the Pixel 2 is so new, it wasn't listed. So I bought the Anker Powerline Plus USB-C to USB-A cable, and I'm happy to report that's what I use to charge every day now. I don't use the power adapter that came with it. I'm using kind of a tabletop power adapter to plug into it, and so no problems. Oh, and one other thing is the Anker. I really like Anker. I think they make really good products for really affordable prices. And I bought an Anker Bluetooth Ultrasonic keyboard to replace one of the Bluetooth keyboards that died in one of my small, inexpensive... Is it my Asus? I think it was my Asus. My Asus laptop. Tablet, really. Tablet. It's physically connected and disconnected. Keyboard stopped working, or a couple of keys stopped working. So I think I paid like, I don't know, $15 for this Anker Bluetooth Ultrasonic keyboard. Really, really quite happy with it. Nothing fancy about it. It only connects with one device at a time, but you know what? That's all I needed. And for $15, you can buy multiple ones if you need to connect to other kind of devices. It's small, easy to carry, no complaints. Typical Anker, you know. Not visually stunning, but it works out of the box, as expected. And that's about it. I don't have much else to say, surprisingly.
Yeah, I think we both bought technology this year, but it tended to be refreshes and
yep.
Not always.
Except for the Chromebook for me.
Yeah, but we both, I think, changed our daily routines enough. Yes. You did it in a major way with your doodle a day.
Oh yeah,
changing your daily routine to accommodate something new.
Yeah, that was when actually it's a 2016 purchase when I bought the Apple Pencil. Never used it in 2016. I kept looking at it around Christmas time, saying, "Man, I paid $100 for this." You know, last spring I should really start using it. And so I am now up to 335 doodles because we are 335 days into the year, I think. It has been a lot of fun and very educational. It's amazing when you do something a couple hundred times, it really helps you kind of, you know, refocus on things that you do. You know, how you visualize, how you look at things literally, and how you translate that into whatever it is you're trying to do. So I highly recommend it. I'm not quite sure what to do for 2018 as my new my New Year's resolution.
Daily doodle animation.
You know, that's interesting because there are a couple of animation apps. I also considered buying a 3D printer. And I don't know if I'd print something daily, because that sounds kind of expensive. But I thought, oh, that'd be kind of interesting to do maybe weekly. You know, weekly 3D print of an original design, not something you just download from, you know, Thing Universe or whatever the place is called. But I haven't bought anything yet, and I'm not sure I want to spend that much money on something anyway. That, you know, only does that one thing. I don't have any practical application for a 3D printer. It'd be definitely just a fun thing. Nor do I have space for it, I think, actually. That's the other problem. So have you ever considered doing 3D printing, John?
I have, but like many things, I worry that if I did, it would take over a lot of my life and a lot of my funds.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Well, in any case, as I predicted, we are 35 minutes into podcast with, you know, we had like really three topics. We managed to fill up the podcast anyway. So, John, you got anything else you want to add? Otherwise, I'll shut down this relatively short podcast.
You know, you are, I will just say that I've thought about potentially doing your doodle a day next year, but
oh, that'd be awesome.
I will have to see. I'll consider it, but, my doodling skills, I think, are worse than yours were when you started. So,
but that's the thing, you know, I think it's sort of like Karate Kid, right? Wax on, wax off. You do that a couple thousand times and by golly, you've developed a skill.
Yeah. It's funny how skill building works like that.
Yeah. So I highly recommend it, and I really am looking forward to seeing what you may do if you so choose to do so. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, John. Well, 36 minutes in, and I will call it a podcast. Podcast number 233 is in the can.